In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. Today, as Christians, our story puts us at the crossroads between life in its unfolding and the end of the world. We stand at the cusp of Holy Week as we relive both the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and Matthew's remembering of the Last Supper, the evening spent in the garden, Jesus' arrest and trials, his crucifixion, and his death. For his friends, both named and unnamed, it seemed to be the end of the world. And that's where our story ends today. My hope is that we all hear this story with our hearts and our minds, and we let it be the end of our world too, at least for the coming week. Because I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We read together both the Palm Sunday liturgy and the Passion liturgy on this Sunday because the church doesn't trust you to live Holy Week. We know that not everyone will be able to, or perhaps even want, to attend the services on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday in preparation for Easter. And yet we can't get to Easter without the end of the world happening first. You can't go from the hosannas of Palm Sunday to the alleluias of Easter as if nothing has happened in between. And so today we enter Good Friday a few days early. And we end our scripture reading with the death of a man. Perhaps this is a good thing. I think that it can only be good for us spiritually to live in Good Friday for a full week, to live with this end of the world, to get our spirits ready. Especially since in our place, nearly 2,000 years later, we have the knowledge that it's not the end of the story. For us, the hope of Easter is something that we take for granted, something that directs our lives, whether we're conscious of it or not. The mystery of the resurrection is a gift that allows us to keep living even when the end of the world happens. So how do we suspend that hope? Why would we want to ignore the mystery? Jesus told his disciples in the garden, "Stay awake with me." This week, we too are asked to stay awake, to dwell in the events of that night and with the terror-filled things that followed. We are asked to remember that God was killed, and to sit and to pray and to watch and to wait and to ponder and to live with that. What would it really feel like to do that? Last year on Good Friday, I told a story about my son Zachary that I'd like to share again. It was his response to a VeggieTales Easter movie a few years ago. VeggieTales, for the uninitiated, are cartoons starring talking animated vegetables that tell Bible stories and other tales about moral virtues. They're pretty good. The Easter movie is a takeoff on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, called An Easter Carol, and features a character who has forgotten what the hope of Easter is and so plans to tear down the local church in order to create Easterland, a place of joy and candy-filled plastic eggs that can be enjoyed year-round. And as this hopeless cucumber travels through his past and into the present, a fairy hatched from an Easter egg brings him to the church and uses the stained glass windows to tell him the story of Jesus' life and of his death and of the hope of Easter, ending her song with a focus on a large rose stained glass window at the front of the church that features a resurrected Christ. It is at this point in the story that unfolds from Easter present to Easter future, one in which neither the church nor the hope of Easter exists. And the way that they show this transition is for a wrecking ball to come smashing into the church right through the cross, the Jesus window. It then pans out to show the steeple of the church being demolished. Not your regular slapstick Bugs Bunny Saturday morning fare. It was at this point when Zach, nearly three at the time, freaked out. And I use that term mildly. He went into hysterics. He was crying and clinging to me and kept yelling over and over, "Mama, they're killing Jesus. They're hurting God. Why?" As hard as it was for me as a mother to experience that with my child, as time has passed, I've often thought to myself, wow, he really got the story and what happened. He experienced the end of the world in all its visceral intensity. And I wish to God that I and that all of us could experience the end of the world so deeply. That in the midst of our lives unfolding, work, school, spring break, we could make time and allow ourselves the space to tap into the end of the world in our own lives. Doing this is hard until we remember the simple truth that the end of the world is always happening. A friend of mine told a story last week that was the sermon I needed to hear for this Sunday. And I asked her if I could share it, and she graciously said yes. Mary recently received an invitation to a baby shower for her great niece, Crystal. When she called to RSVP, she spoke on the phone for a bit with her nephew, Andrew. And while he and his wife and their family are not religious, he mentioned that he sometimes listens on the radio to Oakland preacher Harold Camping, who has predicted, by using a mathematical system to interpret prophecies hidden within the Bible, that the end of the world will occur on May 21st, 2011. You may have seen the billboards all around the Bay Area. Andrew made a comment about this because the baby's due date is May 21st. And made a joke about the end of the world. To which Mary replied, "We all have our own end of the world every day. For the people of Japan, the end of the world has happened. For people whose homes are in foreclosure, the end of the world has happened. For people who are experiencing depression or illness or are out of work, or who have lost a loved one, the end of the world has happened." She continued her sermon with this, "However, there is always new life. For their family, it will be the birth of a new little girl. For us as Christians, it will be the mystery of Easter and the celebration of the baptisms of Inara and Rose next week, as they are buried with Christ in his death, so that they may share in his resurrection, being reborn by the Holy Spirit." That's a good sermon. It gives us the hope of Easter. It reminds us about the end of our story, But we're not there yet. We won't be there for a whole week. And so, instead of offering the hope of Easter today, I offer you the end of the world to use as your lens this week, whether you use the story of the Passion, or the story of your life, or the story of the world around you. That's where I hope you find your praying this week. That's where I invite you to reside as life continues to unfold. For just these few days, may your soul stay awake to mourn the end of the world. Amen.